thank you for each one who's come our way. Many folks visiting today are our regular folks who are here faithfully every Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to you and to the Word of God. And Lord, ask you just to bless our time now as we open your Word this morning. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Bible in your right hand and hold it up in the air. Have you thought about the fact that when you do that, you are holding the very Word of God? This is not just a book. This is God's Word. And I'll be honest with you, folks, in the Sunday school hour, what you need and what I need to hear is the Word of God. The Word of God has been promised to meet and satisfy you spiritually. This is where the answers are, and I'm excited this morning to be teaching God's Word today, and I hope that you'll accept it as such. Several years ago, I remember watching the end of the Olympic trials for the marathon. I don't like to run, personally, unless I'm chasing a ball or something like that, but marathons are not my nature. But for some reason, I guess I was flipping through the channels, and I saw just the end of the marathon. And by the way, good to have Dot Phillips with us, a budding young author, just published her first novel. I'm sure she'd sell you several copies if you see her afterward. But Dot was a member of our class, she and her husband Chester, years ago, and they got out of the Lord's will, moved away, and not really. But it's great to see Dot again. And as I was watching the end of this race, I think the top three would go to the Olympics. And I don't remember, this guy was in the top three or four, and I don't want to be real graphic, but as he got toward that last mile or two of the race, he became physically sick. And he would run for ways, and he would stop, he would get sick, he would run. I mean, it was just incredible to watch. I mean, it was gross to watch, but it was incredible in that this guy just kept going and going and going. And I do not remember what place he finished in. I don't remember if he made the finals or not. I'm thinking maybe he came in fourth and was the alternate. I don't remember, but the thing I do remember is this. Even though it was about to kill him, he finished the race. He finished the race. He was physically, totally sick and exhausted, but he finished the race. Now, that is my desire for my life in my spiritual work. I want to finish the race. I hear of too many people who get in and they labor for God and they're doing a good work for the Lord, but somewhere along the line something happens and they quit. Maybe you're like that this morning. You've been involved in the work of God and some trial came, you got discouraged, something happened in your life, and you dropped out. Folks, you are in a spiritual race. If you're a child of God, God has a race for you to run. And God's desire for you is to finish the race. And this morning, I want to give you three things out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 that will help you to finish the race. Now, I've got a couple pages right here about the very beginning statement, but I'm going to move through that very quickly. Paul is praying in verse 2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And the first point is the character of his thanksgiving. And again, I've got about two pages here, and for sake of time, I'm pretty much going to skip it. Let me just say this. As believers, we are commanded to be thankful or give thanks in how many things? In all things or everything. Now, that's easy when all the bills are paid and you're physically doing well and all that, but what about when it gets tough? Let me ask you a question. I was visiting Micah's dad this week, and he was his spinal column around his neck had gotten so small that it was actually pinching the spinal cord and actually did a little bit of damage, and eventually he lost feeling in his hands and his arms. He couldn't walk and by. I just think he's doing great. The times of visiting this week, he was walking behind the wheelchair, pushing the wheelchair. I thought that was kind of odd. He was supposed to be in the wheelchair, he was pushing the wheelchair. But he said, you know, he said, I never appreciated the use of my hands and my feet and my arms until I couldn't use them anymore. If you're a child of God, hallelujah, we ought to be the happiest, most joyful, thankful people on the face of the planet. You say, Gary, you don't know my problems. Well, I probably don't. But I tell you what, you may have some problems, but think of all the great things God has done for you. I mean, number one, you're a born-again child of God. You're headed for heaven. You deserve to go to hell, but because of salvation, you're on your way to heaven. Boy, if that doesn't cause rejoicing, you need to get recapped or something. I mean, we ought to just have joy in the fact that we're saved. Our sins have been forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. I wonder, are you a thankful Christian? Let's be honest. Most of us have perfected the art of grumbling and complaining. And that's not how it ought to be. We ought to be joyful, thankful people. Now, I just summarized two pages real quickly just for you, because I've got seven to go, and I got to hurry, okay? Here we go. Now, the grounds for his thanksgiving. What was he thankful about? Here are three things that we want to talk about this morning. Number one, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He said, you believers in Thessalonica, even though you're just, this church is just a few months old, you're young believers, you have a faith that works. Now, be careful. We're not teaching salvation by works. A lot of folks around here teach that. But the word of God is very clear. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, again, I've got a lot of stuff here. I want to just turn you to one verse. Romans 11 and verse 6. Romans 11, 6. Romans 11, 6. And Paul really clears this thing up. He says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You got that? Now look, what he's saying is it's either grace or it's works. Let me ask you a question. If you can go to heaven and Christ did 99% of the work, but there's 1% you have to do, is it grace or is it works? It's works. What if Christ did 99.9% of the work and you only have to do 1/10 of the work? Is it grace or is it works? Look, folks, if works enter into it at all, it is now salvation by works and not by grace. No, we're not saved by works. I mean, what a foolish thought to think that we can do something to earn God's favor so he'll let us into heaven. And yet, the majority of the world believes that they have to do something to get to heaven. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the little booklet we gave out last week, come in, make yourself at home. Good to have you. The little book we gave to visitors last week, the book Done, Pastor is making that available to you. If you'd like a copy of that, I would encourage you to read it. It really states this very well. The work for salvation is done. We must receive it. Okay, so salvation is not by works, so what is he talking about? Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. As Martin Luther called it, the strawy epistle. Okay? He wasn't too fond of it. Okay. James chapter 2 and verse 14. And James says, what doth it profit my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Are your wheels turning? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You said, Seaman, I thought you just said you don't get saved by works. Sure sounds like it in that passage. What is James teaching? If you have real faith, what will it produce? Produce works. Where do the works come? Before or after salvation? Look, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. If you really have living faith, it will change your life. We are living in a day when people hear the gospel and supposedly accept the gospel and then go on living the same way they lived before they had salvation. Now something's wrong. I mean, before salvation, who's your master? The devil. After salvation, the Lord's your master. Before salvation, you're controlled by your flesh. After salvation, you should be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now that's going to bring about great change in our life, folks. And what James is saying is, look, a living faith is a life-changing faith. You don't change to get saved, but you change after you've been saved. I think I quoted Ephesians 2:8 earlier, 8 and 9. If we had continued that passage, I think that verse really helps us, because it goes on to say in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So do you see, folks? It is the faith and the grace that saves you, but it also will change you so that it will produce works in your life. And Paul is saying, I'm thankful for you people of Thessalonica, because you folks are working, you have a faith that has produced works in your life. Let me ask you a question. If we went around the room this morning, I would assume that almost everyone would say, yes, I have been born again, I have placed my faith in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Did it change your life? Let's be even more current. Is it changing your life now? Now, again, folks, if you say, I have living faith, but there is no change of life after salvation, we need to examine to make sure we're in the faith. And Paul said, you folks are working, you're working because you have a faith that is causing you to work. Now, what is it about faith that would cause someone to work for Christ? What aspect of faith would cause you to say, you know what, I'm going to get busy and I'm going to start serving the Lord? Now, there's several answers here. Help me out. What's that? Thankfulness for what Christ did when he saved you. What's that? The Bible commands it, okay? And if we do it, what's going to happen? There'll be blessing, there'll be reward. Can you see the reward? No, then it's by faith. What else? All right. If you have faith, you believe in a literal hell. And that if people don't have Christ, they will go to hell. Has anybody seen hell? Please don't raise your hand. You say you should have seen my house last week. Well, it's not that bad, really. It's by faith. It's in the Word of God, and we believe it. And it causes us to work. Now, he doesn't stop there. That's the beginning. Notice, back in 1 Thessalonians, I think probably I'll leave you there the rest of the morning. He said, you folks have a work of faith, or a faith that works. Okay? Secondly, he said, you have a labor of love. You, because of your love, you are laboring. Now, we need to understand this word because you say, wait a minute, Seaman, he just talked about works. Now he's talking about labor. What's the difference? This is not just sitting behind a desk pushing buttons on a computer. This is, the root word of this word labor is to chop, okay? And it means to beat the breast in grief, to cut down, to lament, to mourn. So the application is toil, labor, trouble, weariness. Sometimes it's translated trouble in the Word of God. Now, I know you find this hard to believe, but there have been a few times in my life when I worked so hard that it really was too hard. I know that's shocking to you, but and you have to lay down the grass, you know, until you can recover, you know. How many are shocked by it? But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you work so hard, some of you know what I'm talking about, you work so hard to physical exhaustion. That kind of labor is what he's talking about. And by the way, we see that word again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just flip over a page in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2:9, Paul says, "For you remember, brethren, labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." He said, look, folks, not only did you work because you had a living faith, but you labored because of love. Now, what motivates people to work this way? In the secular world, I know some of you are employees or employers, and you'd love to have people like this that would toil and labor very hard, okay? What causes in the secular world, why do people work hard like that? Or when you're out working in your lawn or wherever that you work so hard, you about fall over. What's the motive in the secular world? The rewards, the boss may be watching. That's a good confession for you. You're forgiven, my son. All right. You talk about the rest of the crew. I understand. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, to make money. People will work 2 and 3 jobs. They'll sleep 5 hours a night so they can have a bigger house, have nicer cars, have nicer stuff. They will work to the point of physical exhaustion so they can move up in the company, do all of these things. Now, none of those things apply to the believer. So why would any believer work so hard in the work of God that he comes to the point of physical exhaustion? By the way, there is a great example, and I should have looked this up. I think his name was Epaphroditus. And Paul was writing, I think, to the church in Colossians, where he was from. And he said, he has worked so hard and prayed so hard and labored helping me so much that he is physically sick. Now, I'll be honest with you. In 30 years at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, there are very few times that I've worked so hard and that I was physically sick. Now, there's been a couple times when there was just so much to do and so much to get done that we just kept going and going and going, and then you're sick on Sunday. You don't get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But Paul is saying, look, folks, as believers, there ought to be times that we labor for God to the point of exhaustion. It's kind of foreign to us, isn't it? Now, what would cause someone to do that? Well, it's right here in the verse, a labor of love. Our love for God and from God causes us to labor for him to the point of exhaustion. And by the way, this word is the agapao love, that self-sacrificing love. We find it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Okay? It's also in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is that sacrificial love. And where does it come from? Well, the source of it is God. 1 John 4 talks about, twice it says, God is love. God is the essence of love. Now, God had given these folks, you're in 1 Thessalonians, turn to chapter 4 and verse 9. And he says, but as touching brotherly love, that's that phileo kind of love, the kindness, he said, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to, that's that agapao, that self-sacrificing kind of love. And he says, look, the thing that causes a believer to labor to the point of exhaustion is God's love. Now, my question is, how do you get it? How do you get it? God is the source of it. I want to work for the Lord. I want to labor for the Lord. Well, the Word of God helps us there because it says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And what does that produce in Galatians 5:20? The fruit of the Spirit, and the first one is love. As the Spirit of God works through you, He will help you to love so that you'll be willing to sacrifice your life to serve others and to serve God. By the way, we pretty blithely, is that the word, blithely? I don't know. Anyway, easily sing, oh, how I love Jesus. We're having church Sunday night, kind of busy. Like you to serve the Lord. Well, you know, I just have too much to do. How do you know if somebody really loves the Lord? It's in the Bible, by the way. It tells you, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And Paul is saying, as I look at this church at Thessalonica, really this miracle church, he said, you folks labor to the point of exhaustion because the love of God is in you. And you're ministering to people all around you. Isn't that amazing? When we really understand what God did for us and have love God, and He gives us a love for others, we'll be willing to sacrifice anything to meet somebody else's needs. That's what He's talking about. A love that labors. Now, I'll just be honest with you folks. I think maybe as we're talking about this, this is just kind of foreign territory to us. But it wasn't to Paul. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It makes us labor for Him. It makes us give the gospel to others. It moves us. Let me ask you a question as we continue here. We've thought about works that are caused by faith, a life that is changed by faith. Can you say, like these new believers at Thessalonica, I, because of my love for God and for others, I am laboring for Christ to the point of exhaustion? It's pretty convicting, isn't it? It's convicting to me. Now, when you start doing that, when we start working for Christ, one of the difficult things, I don't know about you, I'm a great starter. When I was a kid, I had like 27 models in my closet that were half finished, you know? Great starter. Oh, this is so much fun. We get to put this puzzle or this model together, and we're putting on the stickers and all that stuff, and then the glue, and I don't think that. I'm going to go play ball, you know? And fortunately, there's a lot of believers like that too. Someone gets up and they preach, and oh, we get so excited about serving God, and oh, I'm going to be there. Oh, I'll be there. You can count on me. And lo and behold, the next day they don't show up. Or maybe they do, and for about 6 months, boy, they're work. Oh, boy, it's great stuff for the Lord. And then this is a little harder than I thought it would be. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff I really need to do. And before long, we drop out. How do you keep going? Let me give you the last one. He said, number one, you have a faith that works. Number two, you have a love that labors. Thirdly, and patience or endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we've talked about this in the past. The nature of New Testament hope is not, boy, I sure hope it doesn't rain today. New Testament hope is a certainty in our soul that God has promised something and God is going to do it. In Hebrews 6:18, it says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now, I'd like to just stop and preach on that. Isn't that a great statement? God can't lie. If God says that it's true, it's going to happen. It says, we might have a strong consolation to have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. In Titus 2:13, Paul says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, I've got news for you. If you're a child of God, there's going to come a day when you leave this old world. And you're going to leave the troubles behind and all the things behind, and you're going to go to heaven. That's the believer's blessed hope. A better day is coming. Aren't you glad that for the believer, there's a new day coming? When I came in this morning, the Lord put on my heart, Zion's Hill, there waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. What a thought. Someday you're going to dwell as a believer on Zion's Hill, and you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you for all eternity. It's going to happen. One writer said, this is the beacon star that guides the saints to heaven. And what helps you to endure, folks? There's a payday someday. You know, we may labor here for the Lord a lot and not see a whole lot of results. But I tell you one thing, if you're working for God sincerely, you've got a great reward in heaven waiting for you. The finish line is coming. What drove that runner in the marathon to keep on going? He knew that just around the bend was the finish line. If he could just hang on a little longer, he'd finish the race. Finish the race. It's great to have Dot here. This is not my notes, Dot. So don't shoot me, but Dot is years old, okay? And are you still teaching the class in Sunday school? Are you still teaching Sunday school? Okay. Last time we were at her house, before she quit, she was teaching young single adults. I don't know what that does to you, but that spurs me on. Seaman, keep on going. She's still at it. She's still serving the Lord. By the way, she used to have to serve the Lord because she was the pastor's wife. She's not the pastor's wife anymore. She's a lay person, but here she is at years old, and she's still serving the Lord. Boy, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. What drives her on? Realize that someday she's going to stand before the Lord and she wants to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And folks, that divine hope keeps us going, that there's going to be a day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and the things we've done for him with the right motive, we'll be rewarded for all eternity. And we'll take those rewards, those crowns, and we'll cast them at Jesus' feet. And that keeps you going, and it keeps you going because, you know, the finish line is just ahead. If you hang on just a little longer, if you keep serving the Lord just a little longer, it's just out there. And hang in there, saint. Keep at it. Keep working because the end is coming. And by the way, you know what Revelation says is going to happen to the saints? They're going to rest from their labors. It's that same word in verse 3. Rest from their labors. You say, oh, but I need rest now. I'm 57 years old and the wheels are falling off. Hey, keep on going, folks. Keep on going. You're going to have plenty. You're going to have all eternity to rest. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep going. Keep going. To sum it all up, faith rests on the past, love works in the present, hope looks to the future. Now, let's make a little application. We're done. Three things. Do you have a faith that works? Okay. A faith that is changing your life on a day-to-day basis. Secondly, do you have a love that causes you to labor? If you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you ought to have a ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen. You should. And if you don't know what it is, if you'll offer yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you and you show me what to do, He'll open the door. He'll open the door. And maybe you've been at it for a long time. We've got some bus captains in here that have been doing this for a long... How long have you been a bus captain? 34 years. How long have you guys been bus captains? 25 years. How long have you been a bus captain? Different places, I know, Tom, but... Yeah. How do you keep going? When you take your bus, you visit 3 or 4 hours, you take your bus around and 5 kids get on and they're all the bad ones. How do you keep going? That's right. Been there and done that, huh? How do you keep going? When a parent gets mad and because you did something on the bus or didn't do something, and I'm never letting my kids go to that church. How do you keep going? Hey, I want you to know there's a finish line ahead, and Jesus is at the finish line. And He's going to reward you for your labors. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going for the Lord, folks. Heaven's just ahead. Eternity awaits. The judgment seat of Christ is just around the corner. Keep at it. Keep at it. Let us all have a faith that works, a love that labors, and a hope that endures and keeps us going for God. Lord, we thank you for this challenge today from your word. Now, God, you know our hearts. You know our needs. Drive these thoughts home to our hearts. No matter where we are, may we be encouraged to do more for you and to continue serving you until Jesus comes back or you take us home in death. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you all with us today. Good to have the Eads back there visiting and the kitchen.